When zombie shopping malls come back from the dead. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, we often think of the health of the economy in terms of how the hiring is going, what people are paid, prices in these inflationary times. And key insights into all of those can be drawn from what companies say about themselves when they publish their quarterly results. We're just now entering that season where we'll hear first from banks about how they did January to March and how they see the road ahead given a hot economy, higher interest rates, inflation, pandemic, and war. And the higher interest rates we're seeing could prompt banks to approve more loans to businesses and individuals. Here's Marketplace's Justin Ho.
People have been stashing away a lot of cash at banks throughout the pandemic, and banks don't want that money to just sit around, says Gerard Cassidy at RBC Capital Markets.
The banks have plenty of deposits to lend, and they will be very eager to do that.
Especially now that interest rates on loans are rising. Andrew Davidson at the research company Compra Media says consumer loan marketing could get a push.
Our projection for 2022 is that we'll see close to 4 billion offers for new credit cards sent to consumers via direct mail, which would be an increase from 2021.
Banks know consumers aren't thrilled that interest rates on loans are rising. As a result, Davidson says we're starting to see credit card offers with teaser rates, for instance.
We are seeing more offers now for 0% for 18, 21 months, even 24 months.
Davidson says lenders are likely to push other types of consumer loans too, including personal loans and products that let consumers pay for things in installments. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And these quarterlies are coming in. BlackRock, the world's biggest manager of investment assets, this morning just reported higher than expected profits. It made about $1.5 billion between New Year's and the end of March. Yesterday came the news that prices we pay retail hit a fresh 40-year high in March. We'll get more nuance on this today when the Labor Department releases its number for wholesale inflation. Now, we tend to pay retail, but often businesses pass on their higher wholesale costs to everybody else. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
And David, economists expect wholesale price inflation to have accelerated. In February, it was up 0.8%. That number did not capture global trade disruptions because of Russia's war in Ukraine. Now, the March number is expected to be higher. Prices up 1.1%. That's the median forecast. And again, these are prices producers are paying at the wholesale level before finished products are delivered to consumers.
And we've been tracking this. Grain, corn, wheat up. Crude oil prices also up. Will those shape today's report?
Yes, and we know that there's more inflation in certain things. We've seen price spikes in natural gas, crude oil, certain grains, as you mentioned, metals. But we still aren't going to get a complete picture today, particularly with oil. The effects of sanctions on Russian oil haven't been fully realized yet. The International Energy Agency said just this morning that we're about a month behind on that. About 1.5 million barrels of Russian oil are now offline. The full effect that's been forecast because of sanctions, which is 3 million barrels going offline, that won't happen until next month. So today's producer price index still won't capture the full scope of inflationary pressures due to Russia's war in Ukraine. But we know that even before the war, pandemic-related supply chain bottlenecks were putting upward pressure on gas and food in particular.
Yes, they were. Nova, thank you. Let's do the numbers. Dow futures are up 142.4%. S&P futures up 0.5%. The NASDAQ future up 0.6%. The 10-year interest rate up 2.73% now.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Dead shopping malls have turned out to be pretty good places to care for the living. During the pandemic, mall-to-medicine transitions accelerated. Blake Farmer of WPLN in Nashville reports on why health systems are moving in where retail has moved on.
Vanderbilt University Medical Center's campus dates back to 1925 and has been added on to many times. Patient Jennifer Johnson says a visit there means first you have to navigate a maze of parking garages.
Then you try to find out which elevator you're going to get to what floor you're going into.
But she says it's far easier to get around Nashville's 100 Oaks, a former mall that Vanderbilt took over more than a decade ago. It's where Johnson's waiting for her husband to bring around the car.
Here at 100 Oaks, you can go straight up the escalator and straight down the hall. Easy peasy.
The medical mall has worked out so well for Vanderbilt that it just announced plans to do the same thing at a second dying mall in another part of town. Turns out malls have a quality that many big city hospitals don't.
Malls are pretty convenient.
And plenty of parking. Georgia Tech urban design professor Ellen Dunham-Jones has been tracking dead malls about as long as they've been dying. She says nationwide, dozens of distressed shopping malls have made the move to medicine, and the pace picked up during the pandemic. Dunham-Jones says the suburbs are no longer filled with young families and big shoppers.
Those families, the adults, are still in the suburbs. Their kids have long since grown and fledged, and they're pretty heavy-duty healthcare consumers.
The locations are still desirable, just maybe not for retail. But there are only so many businesses that can use 500,000 square feet. That's the area Vanderbilt's trying to repurpose at the hulking Hickory Hollow Mall. It's been mostly empty for years. That makes no sense to Nashville native Ricky Grigsby because the city's otherwise booming.
Somebody needs to do something with it. You know, I mean, that could be a job for somebody.
But not a job for Grigsby. In fact, he just retired from Vanderbilt. Now he's a patient looking for something more convenient. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
And restaurant and travel review platform Yelp says it will pay for employees who work in states that restrict reproductive health care to travel to other states to obtain abortions. Citigroup, which has about 8,000 employees in Texas, recently announced a similar policy. Uber and the customer contact platform Salesforce as well. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.